From Springfield, this is State Week in Review, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
This coming year, we want to make it a year of those who work hard, making sure they get a fair shake, and that means we've got to raise the minimum wage in Illinois.
I know families are struggling out there and times are tough, but Governor Quinn is trying to cover up the fact that he's been the governor and our state's business climate has sunk to historically low lows. We need to bring good, real-paying jobs back to Illinois, jobs that have a future, jobs that one can build a life on. And raising the minimum wage as an election year type of stunt is not going to do that.
I am adamantly against raising the minimum wage. My view is we've already got the second highest unemployment rate in America. We already have outrageously high unemployment rate among low-income, poor minority kids in Chicago and Rockford and Peoria and East St. Louis. And raising the minimum wage is just going to blow them out and take away their jobs.
All the audio we heard there about the minimum wage, that last comment, a little bit hard to hear, but from Bruce Rauner, where he said he's adamantly against raising the minimum wage. That came from a fall event in Ford County and was posted on the Chicago Sun-Times website via a Democratic-funded super PAC. We also had Kirk Dillard, another Republican candidate for governor in there, and then Governor Pat Quinn, who said this was going to be the year of the minimum wage. And he's certainly been right. I don't know if he suspected that it was going to be on the Republican side of things where the discussion was taking place. We'll be talking about that and more on State Week. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield, Sean Crawford, News Director, WUIS, Amanda Venicky, State House Bureau Chief for WUIS and Illinois Public Radio, and our guest, Dave McKinney, the State House Reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
And let's just get rolling there. The minimum wage popped out as an issue fast, but among Republicans, I was a little surprised by that. I don't know if everyone else was.
Well, yeah, I mean, this thing took on a life of its own this week, and it really kind of started when some Democrats drew attention to some statements that Rauner made on December 11th in the Quad Cities at a candidates' forum, where at that point it seemed as if he was advocating a rollback in the minimum wage so that the state minimum wage matched the federal minimum wage that would go from $8.25 to $7.25. And he, as soon as that started gaining traction, that the storyline kind of wrote itself here. You know, you have an Uber millionaire going into the pockets of short order cooks, that it was easy for people to understand. And so Rauner quickly backed away from those comments, said he was misunderstood, said he misspoke, actually, that he was flippant, and apologized for those remarks, and then came out and said he would advocate for an increase in the federal minimum wage, or if, short of that, an increase in the state minimum wage if it was tied to some business-friendly reforms. And so, that's where things were at until the emergence of this new video from, as you alluded in the opening there, from Gibson City, where in September, Rauner was saying he was adamantly opposed to an increase in the minimum wage. So you have a candidate here who is just sort of picking the flavor of the day in terms of his position on the minimum wage. I mean, I talked to business groups about this. They're confused about, they can't decipher what Bruce Rauner's position is on the minimum wage. So it's a big issue for him.
In Bruce Rauner as a candidate who, to reporter's chagrin, has been incredibly disciplined when he is speaking on the stump, when he answers reporters' questions. For example, I know the first time that the Springfield Press Corps really had an interaction with him was during the state fair, and he was asked about when he rode in on a motorcycle, his thoughts, for example, on helmet laws, and he refused to respond, refused to give an answer. That's a skill that politicians generally take a while to cultivate, and Rauner has been quite adept at it. But that is where it has seemed he did come out and say that he will agree to five debates. But where the other candidates, all of whom have long been Illinois politicians, something that Rauner says is a bad thing when you look at Dillard, Brady, and Rutherford, but that they say, hey, look at this guy. He's not able to talk about any issue besides those that he goes out and writes ads about. And so this is the first time that we've really seen Rauner truly trip up, and where we'll see how much that is an issue for voters. But as Dave said, something like the minimum wage, when you have a guy who, you know, makes more in an hour than a minimum wage employee could make in what, a year, a lifetime, that's something that just it sure as heck looks bad. But then also from an insider's perspective, where again business groups, and you're looking at as the kind of Republican establishment and the inside tries to figure out which candidate they are going to back in the primary race and how that's all going to pan out. They want somebody that they can trust, and they know that if is elected, will stand by them.
Well, this is a rookie mistake, I think, politically, too, because this was not an issue that I'd heard much discussion about in the Republican primary, and it is elephant season, basically, right now. We are in the midst of a gubernatorial primary with four candidates fighting it out. And I don't know why he decided to get into this mix. He probably could have left that alone to some extent, or probably been more vague, which is, you know, typically what you hear. Why he decided to get into this right now, I think, was kind of it just opened the door for an opportunity for the others to say, hey, here's a guy who makes a lot of money, has a lot of money, and he is out of touch with other people. And it allowed Kirk Dillard and Bill Brady, of all people, who's always been a pro-business guy, to come out and act like, you know, that he was shocked by Rauner's comments. So it's really I thought it was a rookie mistake politically.
Well, and it's telling, I think, about the age that we're in terms of the media. And this is something that, in a way, it wasn't Rauner that brought this to the forefront. It was comments that he had made that went fairly unnoticed. And even at the debate, you know, I mean, you go to these things, and this was at an event in the Quad Cities where he had made this remark that seemed to talk about rolling back Illinois' minimum wage. And it didn't gain traction there, be it because it was a regional event and the reporters at the time were more focused on Quad City sort of issues, what have you, who knows. It's just kind of one of the things where it kind of got a life of its own once it gained credibility, and once it was in some more of the major media outlets, and once Democrats made an issue out of it, and then Rauner himself, in trying to correct it, made it a bigger issue. And then this is something, again, where you have, for example, YouTube videos, such as the one that Dave can talk about, obviously, was on the Sun-Times website, where he's adamantly against any sort of increase in the minimum wage, that you can do an online search that has surfaced. It's the whole issue of opposition research. And there are now candidates being followed around constantly by opponents' cameras, catching everything that they say, so that if there is any sort of flip-flop on an issue, it's right there. The sort of stuff that maybe, you know, a dozen years ago, somebody could have said something at a regional event and it never would have been out so widely in the public, and it wouldn't have tripped up a candidate in quite this fashion.
What he could have done, I think, was just to say, I don't think it should be raised until the federal minimum wage gets raised. You know, we are above the federal minimum wage. That's been a typical Republican mantra for a few years. And not only Republicans, I'm hearing it from Democrats. In fact, they had a bill come up the last couple of years trying to raise the minimum wage in the state again. I don't even think it got called for a hearing, maybe a hearing, but maybe not a full vote in the Illinois legislature. So to some extent, even Democrats are not going on with it. I thought he really just stepped into something there that he probably shouldn't. And you're right, he probably could have taken a position there where he could have left it alone. And instead, he now looks like he's flip-flopping all over the place. It was just, I just think, a bad move and a political novice making that type of mistake.
Well, I mean, the thing that was interesting in both of these occasions here, they were basically audience questions, you know, and he was appearing with all four or all three of his GOP rivals. So, I mean, it wasn't as if he was, it wasn't as if he was out there openly thumping his chest to push this issue. It was asked of him. And, you know, what's a little unusual is that the three opponents of his weren't, you know, out.
Didn't make an issue of
they,
it.
They
this
weren't,
is
they
Democrats
weren't out,
who did, yeah.
Exactly. They weren't out making, making a stink about it. You know, I think for Rauner, you know, clearly this is going to drag on for him. He has the benefit that this happened early enough in the campaign where there's time for him to recover. But I think what we're going to see happen now is there you know, undoubtedly are going to be commercials off of this because the video is out there. And I think what it does, you know, forget the minimum wage issue for a moment, but focus more on whether or not there is a believability problem for Bruce Rauner now. Because, you know, anybody who looks at this, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, anything, you walk away with this idea, can this guy be believed in what he says? Because, you know, it doesn't take a trained ear to know that, you know, when you say you're adamantly against something, and then the next thing we know, you're saying you're for something, and then you're trying to paper it over sort of with comments that you just misspoke. I think people, you know, that's going to be his biggest issue going forward. You know, can he reestablish credibility and believability with voters?
And that's something that is facing, I think, not just him, but also Senator Kirk Dillard, who is a somewhat different Kirk Dillard than you have seen in the past. I know when I asked the senator about it, because he, of course, did previously vote for a hike in the minimum wage, but that was years ago. He said, you know, that was before Illinois had the fourth highest minimum wage in the nation. Now I don't think that we should do that. He's said comments about let the marketplace handle it. He now has also kind of given a more nuanced position and said that it's not just let the market handle it. It's maybe we need to look at things such as getting a different minimum wage for student workers versus those for whom a minimum wage job is a part-time gig versus those who are using it as a living wage, wanting to look at some of those issues. But that said, I think Dillard is in a far safer position than, for example, Rauner. He has a long voting record that you're going to see Rauner try and use against, again, all of these candidates who he says, we need somebody new, we need to quote-unquote shake up Springfield, and you have all of these politicians that have such long voting records in the past that he'll try and use against them. This will be what, so early on, they can use against him.
Now, where, just so we get a good idea, the other Republican candidates, where do they stand, as well as we know anyway, on the minimum wage?
Well, they are, you know, their position, both Rutherford and Brady, are that they oppose an increase in the minimum wage. And, you know, Amanda, I think, spelled out Dillard's position, which was a little bit quirkier, where he's talking about the you know, market forces somehow establishing the minimum wage. I have no idea how that would work. And then, you know, Rauner is kind of all over the map. But these other two candidates, Rutherford and Brady, have said, you know, their position stops basically, you know, we don't believe that the minimum wage should be increased because of competition reasons with other states.
Well, isn't it also a situation that the minimum wage is not that many people actually make the minimum wage in Illinois? And I don't remember what the numbers are, but I thought that came out a couple of years ago under this discussion that you're really only talking quite often about very entry level, maybe even part-time workers quite often who make it, that you're not seeing that among many full-time workers. They tend to be at least a little bit above it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Department of Labor put out, they have an estimate of 1.1 million workers in Illinois, you know, and that runs the gamut clearly from, you know, teenage workers, from, you know, parents with kids in college who need a part-time job to make ends meet. So, I mean, it's a substantial number, 1.1 million. And that also gets to another problem here. I mean, I don't know how many of those 1.1, you know, might vote in a Republican primary, but clearly there's a swath of voters there that, you know, are probably going to be offended by this, much in the same way that people were in the presidential election when Mitt Romney was talking about the 47%. I mean, it was just kind of an affront to working people. And that's, you know, those are the people that Rauner on the campaign stump says that he is all about helping. So, you know, again, he's got a mess in his hands here. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he unravels it.
And Sean, you did, I think, touch on something when you speak with business groups. For example, you know, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, the NFIB, says the majority of the people that are making the minimum wage are those who aren't using it as their household income. It's mostly student and part-time workers, and that's where they say this is bad for small businesses, that, you know, this is going to hurt the very people that it's trying to help, because they are going to have, you know, coffee shops, restaurants, small shops that will have to lay off people because they just have only so much discretionary income. They're trying to make a profit, and they can't afford to put it back into these wages. Of course, this is ongoing as the Affordable Care Act is rolling out and having repercussions down the road for small businesses. And yet, clearly, this is something that Governor Pat Quinn sees as an election issue. He had jumped on the bandwagon when President Obama last year called for a hike in the minimum wage. Quinn said, yeah, we like it, but he was pretty quiet about it. And then in December held, you know, this big pre-Christmas event where he talked about it. And it appears like he thinks it is going to be an electoral win for him. So whereas, as Sean said, there was some talk about it in a proposal from Senator Kim Lightford that I think largely didn't go anywhere. It got some hearings and some discussion. We could see, however, Democrats at the very least trying to make this one of the few issues that they do put forth this year, an election year, where I don't think we're going to see anything like the last year and the flurry of activity on a lot of controversial measures. Democrats have those super majorities, and they very well may see this as an election win.
I think we will see. I think Democrats have put this as the page nationwide and state elections. This will be one of those issues, one in hopes that they can draw attention to it and maybe distract from some of the shortfalls so far.
Well, I mean, Bill, if you're John Cullerton, if you're John Cullerton, why would you not want to this spring take this issue onto the floor of the Senate and get another roll call on it? Because you got Bill Brady and Kirk Dillard having to cast votes on that.
Oh,
Then you drag Rutherford in it, and certainly you drag Bruce Rauner in it. What's Rauner going to do if there's a bill to increase the minimum wage on the floor of the Senate? You know, what position is he going to take? And so this is going to be a lingering issue for these Republican candidates, especially Rauner, going into the March 18th primary.
And I think it is a built-up issue as well. There seems to be – it's the kind of support more Republicans might go along with, more of what we'll call the Illinois mainstream Republicans sometimes will go along with, because there is the perception – I don't know whether the facts – a lot of people report it, you know, that the middle class is disappearing and a widening wage gap and things – and that frustrates a lot of people who may be working a lesser-paying service job than they had before. So it is one of those that can almost at some point become a bipartisan issue, even when it's traditionally not. Charlie?
I was going to say, as a matter of fact, polling suggests that there is strong support for increasing the minimum wage to $10 an hour all across the spectrum, with the one exception being kind of hardcore Tea Party-type conservatives. And part of Rauner's problem is that he's kind of throwing red meat to the conservatives when he says we shouldn't raise it. In fact, we should roll it back because, there's this element in the Republican base that thinks there shouldn't be any minimum wage. You should pay people what they're worth. And as a matter of fact, if you establish a minimum wage, you're paying some people more than they're worth. On the other hand, whoever emerges from the Republican primary is going to have to attract votes from people who don't look at themselves as being Republicans, but rather independents or Democrats, for whom the question of having a decent living wage is not just sound public policy, it's kind of a moral imperative. And the thing to remember about someone who actually gets a boost in their minimum wage, these are folks who aren't going to take the money and put it in some offshore trust fund in the Cayman Islands. They're going to turn around and go to the neighborhood grocery store or to the department store to buy clothes for their kids. They're going to spend the money and put it back in the economy right away. And so I think that's an element that needs to be taken into consideration, too. All this talk about, oh, if you raise the minimum wage, it'll cripple the economy. We're going to have to lay off all these people. I think that that's a lot of rhetoric, and I don't think the facts bear that out.
You're listening to State Week in Review. Just ahead, we'll talk about one Republican candidate's call for the head of the state prison system to step down.
Support for State Week in Review comes from the Illinois State Bar Association, whose activities include proposing and shaping legislation, educating the public, and supporting the courts and the rule of law. Information at IllinoisLawyerFinder.com.
Our panel on State Week, Charlie Wheeler, Sean Crawford, Amanda Vinicky, and the Sun-Times' Dave McKinney. Dave, I believe it was the Chicago Sun-Times that came out with some reports related to the Department of Corrections. I'll have you explain that a little bit. And that, in turn, led to some Republican campaign fodder.
Well, I mean, you know, basically this involved an appointee of Governor Quinn's, Zandrian McCraven. He was a former gang member. He had a lot of political ties. And he had felonies. He had 24 arrests, three convictions in his record from illegal handgun possession to disorderly conduct. And somehow this guy managed to ascend to this, you know, really important job in the
six-figure pan.
Exactly. Department of Corrections. And the Quinn administration appeared to take a blind eye toward it. And so the guy is gone now, but we have Republicans who are
fired.
Correct. And so we have Republicans out there now stirring the pot who are looking for some sort of legislative remedy to deal with this this situation. So what we've seen over time is there have been questionable hires by the Quinn administration. You know, going back to 2009 when he took over. I mean, we've seen former aldermen hired here. I mean, a lot of political hires. And this is the latest in the string, and I think this one is the most troubling because of the guy's criminal record in an agency that is a criminal justice agency. So, this is a problem for Quinn, and I think, we talk about, the problem that a guy like Rauner faces. This could be a problem that might blow up in Quinn's face down the line if
Well, and so, right. So Senator Kirk Dillard, for example, calling now for Quinn to get rid of the chief of the Department of Corrections. And as Dave was saying, I mean, the whole hiring issue has been really interesting to watch with Quinn from the onset. When he first came in, obviously taking over for Rod Blagojevich, he promised that there was going to be, he was going to look through all the Blagojevich hires, get rid of the many political appointees that wasn't what Rod ended up going to prison for. But nonetheless, there had long been investigations, we know, by prosecutors into hiring under the Blagojevich administration. When Quinn didn't do that, that's where we saw, for example, Speaker Mike Madigan calling for a fumigation. He tried to put a deadline, really tried to push Quinn into doing a thorough search of all of these hires and getting rid of them. That legislation or that kind of push from the speaker never really went anywhere. It was very public, however, and Quinn never, it never passed. And there have been some thought that, Quinn never really did that. That this is a guy who, he still kind of frames himself as this outsider, that he has long been the trying to organize from the grassroots. Of course, that's something that doesn't really hold up when you're the governor. You can't be the outsider anymore. He kind of does get away with it, though, in a sense. And he, at the very least, is somebody who doesn't have the same legions that the many other political leaders in Illinois, such as, for example, Madigan himself, do have. So Quinn doesn't come in with the same sort of ability to appoint these people that others have. And that's, I think, you see him getting into trouble in the Department of Corrections in particular, time and time again, in terms of his last head of the, or his first appointment to head the Department of Corrections, had all sorts of ethics issues in Ohio, for example. And so the Department of Corrections is somewhere where he's really had a lot of trouble.
Well, and don't forget another thing that another hire that comes to mind here now that you think about it is, Quinn, the Quinn administration, after there was the scandal over at Metro, where this Madigan precinct worker, Patrick Ward, asked for a pay increase, couldn't get it, and then, everything blew up at Metro. They created a special job for this guy, Ward, at the Department of Central Management Services. I love the guy's title. He's a assistant deputy director. It's like, wait a minute, does a deputy director really need an assistant? Because he's a deputy to somebody else.
A position that hadn't been – they created the position. Not just that this guy got it, but they created the position for him.
Right. And so, you have a guy who – I mean, Quinn has always styled himself as a reformer.
But
populist.
He's playing the game.
Exactly.
Most certainly.
Exactly. This is something that the speaker probably wanted. The speaker, in fact, recommended the Ward for the state job, and lo and behold, it happens.
And you were mentioned that it could pose problems for Quinn, this particular corrections issue, which is kind of interesting because that is what happened late in his campaign last time around when he got caught up in the early release program and really tightened up the election in the final days there. So it seems like corrections could be the burr in his saddle electorally.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you can just see how, with a story like this, how the ad writes itself, because all it's going to take is an opposition researcher someplace to track down a few victims of this guy's crimes and interview them on camera and then put them on the air in a commercial. And it's just like, you know, it's staggering in some ways where there just isn't, you know, thought to vetting people better, you know. And I know that, you know, political favoritism has been here forever, and it in some ways serves a function, I guess. But you know, it just seems like this is just, you know, an unnecessary self-inflicted wound that Illinois politicians seem to be good at giving themselves.
Charlie Wheeler, this was also a week, as we move off the governor campaign, this was also a week for reports related to dollars and cents.
Well, that's true. There were a couple of reports. Actually, one that got a lot of attention was one that surfaced last November about what the state's contribution to the pension systems for the fiscal year that begins in July is going to be. And the increase is only $103 million. Those are calculations from the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, which after having a increase near $1 billion for the current fiscal year is a welcome relief. And the other significant thing, I think, was that CAGFA reported that midway through the current fiscal year.
That's the legislature's forecasting.
Right. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability said that the state's main checkbook account, the general funds, had increased by better than 5% over the first 6 months of the last fiscal year. Individual income tax is up, corporate income tax is up, sales taxes are up. Federal aid is down because we haven't had as much money to be able to spend on programs that get reimbursed, but it's a pretty decent-looking picture. On the other hand, the Office of Management and Budget, which operates under the governor, by law has to put out every year an annual projection of looking ahead for spending and revenue. And to no one's surprise, they show that the state is going to face a huge revenue drop-off for the next fiscal year 2015, if in fact the income tax increases of 2011 drop back to the lower levels that the law now provides. And so when Governor Quinn presents his budget next month, he's going to have to figure out a way to deal with a drop of more than $2 billion in revenues. And again, none of this stuff is surprising. Everybody's known about it for a long time, but with the exception of how well we did in the first half of the current fiscal year, but to have all of this information out there, it's going to kind of focus attention, I think, on the state's budgeting problems as we go forward in the spring session.
And that's all the time we have for this week's edition. Thanks to Dave McKinney of the Chicago Sun-Times for joining us. You can get a podcast of State Week by going to WUIS.org, or if using a desktop or laptop, find it on iTunes by searching for State Week in Review. If you're using an iPhone, you need to go to iTunes U. The production assistance for our program today provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.
You've been listening to State Week in Review, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week in Review is produced in the state capitol by public radio station WUIS. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.